Yeah. Good morning. Make sure I got this on. Is it on or not? Yeah. Okay, good. Good morning, church. I'm glad to be up here this morning. Excited about it. Excited about all the people that got to contribute today from the singles ministry. That was really awesome to see that, to see the, you know, all the brothers and sisters I've been developing relationships with in the ministry, doing great things during the service, even down to my roommate Corey up there helping with the slides, keeping this in action. So all great stuff. And I do want to thank God that he's given the singles ministry this opportunity to do that, building, you know, an awesome multi-generational church like Steve's been talking about. So this, as you can see, you know, the title of my slide up here, something that's been on my heart to kind of dig into, to learn about. And I wanted to share that with you this morning. You can see the quote from Socrates up there. Socrates isn't usually someone we turn to here in the church. But it does say, beware the barrenness of a busy life. And I think that's something that, you know, God wants us to be aware of. You know, when you have a busy life, things could get a little lonely, a little barren. So I think we want, you know, to stop the busyness from taking over. We want to think about that. But another thing, last week, Steve said something that I thought was really, really applicable here. He said that when we think that the busier we are, the more effective we are believing a lie from the devil. So I think that that is, you know, something we really want to think about this morning as we're diving into this. But there may be some of you out there who are thinking, okay, we've got a single man up here, doesn't have any kids. What could he know about being busy? And you may have a good point there, but what I want to, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of my background, what I do to kind of show you what I, you know, how I become busier and busier sometimes. So after the end of the year, starting around January till about February 25th, I work as an accountant, as an auditor. So in finishing that audit report from January to about February 25th, I was working at least 6 days a week. And in about half of those days, I was getting to work around 9 a.m. and I was leaving, you know, that sounds normal. I was leaving sometimes after 10 o'clock, a lot of the times after 10 o'clock, about half of those days. And as it got closer and closer to the deadline, started working sometimes on Sundays too, things like that. So I'm just running around, trying to finish all this stuff. And generally, my only time outside of work was when I was here on midweeks and when I was here on Sunday. And so the reason I wanted to dive into that is because after this past one, I switched clients, and their year, this new client's year end is on September 30th, which is right around the corner. So I'm about to enter, you know, some of this busy time. So, I really wanted to dive into the Word and see, you know, kind of what does God say about when we're busy and how can we kind of change that? How can we kind of be, you know, more effective? You know, I'll be in that time from, you know, September 30th all the way up until Thanksgiving. So I want, you know, I want to be ready for that. I want to, you know, be ready to serve God in that time as we get busier. And, you know, all of us want to be able to do that. So my first point this morning, where is your connection? This is something we've been talking about as a church for a little while. We've been talking about how we need, you know, we need connection with people. We need connection with God. We need to build this church, you know, into a group that's really connected to each other to do effective things for God. And Jesus kind of tells us, where's the important places of connection that we have? He tells us with the greatest commandment. I think Alan mentioned it earlier this morning. The greatest commandment is that we love God and we love people. And so to talk a little bit about where your connection is, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, about connecting with people and connecting with God. So to start, we'll talk about our connection with other people. I think when I become more busy, when most of us become more busy, I'm thinking people might be similar. It's kind of easy to kind of push the other people a little bit to the side. You're kind of thinking, well, I have all these things I got to do. I don't know if I really have time for these other people right now, or I don't have time for them, you know, even to help me. I just feel like I got to get all this done, and I'm kind of pulling away, you know, not able to make those connections that I normally would, and all of that stuff. But as we turn to the scriptures, and there's going to be quite a few scriptures this morning. I'll have them all on the screen so you can read them up there. Hopefully you can write them down. I'll try to make sure you can do that so that we can dig into them later. But I wanted to turn to the first person that we can learn from. This is the wisest man who ever existed in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In verses 7 to 8, we can really learn what happens when we're so busy, what can that do to our connection with other people? And so what it says is, "Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business." So as we look at what Solomon says, about what busyness can do to our connection, it's right there. It said he had neither son nor brother. There was nobody he was able to connect with because he was working, it's whatever is keeping you busy. If that's what's driving you, it kind of all ends up being meaningless. These things of this earth, there's not a lot of impact we can do there when we're, trying to get all these busy things done. I think with me, with my work, it just seemed like everything, within that work mattered so vitally. We had to get it done. I had to make it to the end. I had to, get everything that I needed to be done in a perfect way. But, God wants us to step back and, have that connection with other people even in those times. And here's kind of, as he continues, we can see that. The very next verse, verse 9, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." So Solomon takes this passage where he's talking about how toiling away endlessly, never having any rest, that's meaningless. And then he immediately dives into talking about how important it is to have connection with other people, to have help from those other people, to connect with them so that when you're the one who's kind of got more time and can help them, and they're the one who's busy, you can still have that. There's a back and forth there. One falls, the other picks them up. And even though two can defend themselves, so sometimes it's going to be bombarding both of you at the same time, or you're going to have the same thing that you need to get done, but two are better than one. And even, it even gets down there, the last verse, cord of three strands is not quickly broken. At times during my busiest parts of work, there were times where, it was just easier in those times that I did have, those short periods of time where I wasn't at work, I wasn't, trying to get things done, where I would make, small decisions like, I need time for myself, I need to just relax, the temptation of laziness. But then where I ended up being was when people did try to reach out to me and help, even some of my coworkers trying to, hey, how are you doing with this? Maybe we could get somebody else to help with that. I'd be like, I'd get frustrated with them because I got it. I can accomplish it. It's those kind of things where we don't realize the help that we need. We need that connection to kind of get us through. More with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 to 26. This is a bit of a longer passage, so I won't read the whole thing. But in verse 14, it says, "Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." And jumping down to verse 18, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there can be many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you." So what we can see here, and finish that out. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And so I think another kind of temptation to have when we're getting really busy is that, you know, I can't really do all that much for the body. Maybe I have too many things going on. I can't serve in this way because I don't really have time. I can't get to midweek early enough to do the kids' kingdom, or, you know, I can't make it to this event that we're trying to have because, you know, I'm just going to be getting off of work and I've got all these other things I got to do. You know, there are things that, you know, kind of get put in the way and make us feel like, oh, even my contribution wouldn't be enough. But what does it say there? The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We need every part of the body to accomplish these things. You know, we need each of us, you know, as we're, you know, developing those relationships. And, you know, for the people who, you know, are really into that, we need to reach out to those people who maybe can't make it. See what we can do to help them. Really drive that point home, you know, help them, bring them in, you know, tell them that their part in all of this is not indispensable, or is indispensable, is not dispensable. There we go. So now that we've talked about our connection with other people, there's also something else we need connection with. We need connection with God. And, you know, it's vital to have a connection with God. I mean, some of the reason that our connection with other people slip is we realize, okay, I need to put God first. So I need that connection. But sometimes when we get even busier, that connection can slip. And it's important that we keep that. So who else in the scriptures would we look to see how a connection with God can really work even in the busiest times than Jesus? So the first scripture in Mark 1 verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." So the hidden meaning behind this scripture is in all the things that happened up to that point before Jesus got up very early in the morning. The day before was a long day. Jesus had been, people were coming to him. He had taught in the synagogue. People were like, wow, this guy's awesome. So they all start coming to him. He's healing those people. He's teaching them. He's giving everything he's got to these people. And then he finally gets some time to rest. And what does he decide to do? He decides to get up early in the morning to get time with God because he knew those people were coming back. As soon as he gets done with this, probably while he's still in the middle of it, the disciples come, "Everyone's looking for you." And, you know, the next day it starts over again. But Jesus found that time to connect with God. And, you know, we really need that time. And then, you know, what goes with busyness is stress. Stress is going to, you know, it's going to affect us. It's going to be, you know, coming into our lives and during those times that we're busy. You know, that was the busiest times for me in the audit is also the most stressful times, the part where I, you know, almost couldn't handle it. And if we look to Jesus, there was a particularly stressful part of his life right before he goes to the cross when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Up there, you know, you can read the whole thing, but up there in verse 34, this is Mark 14, 32 through 36. But in verse 34, Jesus reveals a little bit about how he's feeling. He says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He is very overwhelmed right now. We can, you know, sometimes think of Jesus, okay, he's got it under control. You know, he's God. I'm sure, you know, he can get through this. But this is how he was feeling. In fact, it says, you know, in Luke 22, to add to this, it says in verse 44, "And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." And, you know, if you learn more about this, this is actually possible. Sweat could turn into drops of blood. Blood vessels could burst and, mix with the sweat and come out. So Jesus was very, very stressed out in this time, and so he turned to God. You know, that was his closest relationship. And if we step back for a second to think about that, is God your closest relationship? Is that, you know, is that who you turn to in your most stressful time when your sweat is literally blood falling to the ground? When you're overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death? You know, who is it you turn to? You know, guys, we need that connection with God. It's vital. You know, you can't get through all of this, you know, through the busyness, especially through those stressful times where, you know, it's so tough that you don't know if you're going to make it to the end. You know, you don't know if you're going to make it through, whether it's, you know, financial troubles, whether it's just a job, you know, not just a job, but whether it's the job, you know, that you're working through, whether it's, you know, a tough time with your kids, with your marriage, you know, with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, all, you know, your family. Like these times where we get busier and busier and feel like we have to do all these things, the stress builds up. God has to be there close to us. We can't lose that. We can't lose that connection with God. And so now that we've talked about connection, the next thing I wanted to ask is, where is your accomplishment? So as we get busier and busier, the temptation is like, okay, I'm this busy because there's something I'm trying to accomplish in the future. There's something I'm trying to get to. You know, I'm trying to get to this point in the future, the end. And it seems like nothing else matters but that point. But, you know, let's look in the scriptures a little bit at some Proverbs that talk about hard work. I'm gonna hit these pretty quickly, but I'll back this one up so you can see it. Proverbs 13, verse 4. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Proverbs 12, verse 24. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. Proverbs 12, verse 11. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. So if we look at, you know, what Solomon is saying here in Proverbs, or it could be somebody else, but wise people are saying in Proverbs that God has put in those scriptures, it looks like God is telling us that hard work is a good thing. So if I worked even harder, wouldn't God bless that? If I, you know, have all these busy things to do, isn't accomplishing those things what God wants me to do? And while that might be, you know, somewhat true, it's kind of like the real crux of that is what's the motivation for those things? You know, is it earthly things? Are they things that we're trying to go after, we're trying to accomplish? What accomplishment are we going to have at the end of it? You know, it's like, when I'm in the audit busy season, nothing matters except, oh my gosh, the deadline's coming. But once the deadline's there, it's like, oh, now we're back to normal life. We finished. And it's like, what was the accomplishment? Well, you know, there was an accomplishment, but it's like, does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? You know, what matters more? And so one more proverb here in 23, verse 4, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. And I think that's where we really need to think about, you know, are we motivated by what God is motivated by? Or are we motivated by our own cleverness, as it says here, by our own intuition, what we think is best? And I think that's, you know, that's the trouble that we can have in these busy times. We're not trying to figure out what God wants. We're just putting in our blinders and trying to get to the end of that busy time, trying to finish everything we got to do. Then we'll return back to the accomplishments God wants. You know, there has to be a mixture. We have to be, you know, as I talked about earlier, you know, a part of the kingdom, doing things that are indispensable for the kingdom. And then this next scripture, you know, when I was looking at this scripture, I got really excited about what it was talking about. You know, something I hadn't looked at a lot before because it's in the book of Haggai. And maybe it'll, there we go. So in the book of Haggai chapter 1, what it says here, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. And it's this heart, you know, we can see the heart of God. He's speaking through Haggai in this time. And this is a time where the Israelites have just come back for the first time from exile. They've come back into Jerusalem, in Judea, and they see the shambles of the city. And God sees the shambles of the city. But what they are focused on is like, okay, well, first we need, you know, to build up our houses, we need to make sure we can live. And then maybe we got to build the city wall to make sure nobody comes and takes us away again. And then maybe, you know, and then maybe, oh yeah, there's that temple. Maybe we'll get to that. It's like, God's like, you know, I'm not going to bless you unless you think, you know, unless you think about how to glorify me. And that, I mean, you know, it's not like a, you know, one for one kind of thing where we get the blessing because we did this. But it's just like, why aren't we thinking about God? You know, how is he a part of our goals and plans? Where is he in all of that? You know, it's powerful to see how God sees this, you know, how God sees when we're toiling away at what we think is important. Have we considered what God thinks about that? And is it possible he's thinking like that? You know, he tells us twice, give careful thought to your ways. And I think that's important, you know, to think about what you're trying to accomplish. So the third and final point is, where is your heart? And this is something I wanted to talk about because, you know, I'd been talking to my girlfriend and I was asking her, like, what is, you know, kind of what's causing people in your ministry to kind of, you know, maybe not be a part of it as much or not do, you know, why aren't they kind of investing into it? You know, is there, you know, when there's issues with that, what do you think? She, you know, we talked about, you know, there's these things going on in their life. They're, you know, there's schoolwork that they have to do, you know, in the campus ministry. There's, you know, these different things that come up. They have, you know, they have work, they have school, they have all these different things. And because of that, they, you know, maybe they don't come to midweek. Maybe they don't find time to, you know, get advice with people and talk to people and connect to people. And so, you know, as I thought about that, I thought about this passage here in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me here to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And, you know, it's like, it's this heart that we have to check ourselves. Where is our heart? You know, are we kind of, you know, she seems to have the right heart at the beginning. It does say that Martha opened the house to him. She was the one who invited Jesus in. But then she was like, well, if Jesus is here, I got to do all this. I got to do all that. You know, if I'm going to do this, I got to get to that. I got to bring, you know, get it ready. And so she forgot kind of, she's like, well, this needs to happen, so I can't really be with Jesus right now. She's making that excuse. And Jesus tells us a little bit more about excuses. In Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, Jesus tells us that a certain man was preparing for a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just brought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." And then it continues. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, "Go out into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there's still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and to the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my great banquet." And so as we think about excuses, you know, the excuses that we make, you know, there's all this work I got to do. You know, I don't think I can make it to midweek this week. Or there's, you know, my children have all these things going on and, you know, I got to get to that. I got to make sure that they can do all of that. I don't think family group is going to happen this week. Or, you know, whatever else it is, you know, I have to go do this, so I can't do that. But if we know those things are coming, if we know we want to be a part of those things, to be connected in God's church, why didn't we figure it out ahead of time? You know, why didn't we make those things lesser so that God can be greater? That's just kind of how it is. You know, in the toughest times in my life where I'm the busiest, it was something that was important to me that I was here at midweek and I was here on Sunday. So I talked to my managers ahead of time. I asked them, like, is this still possible? Like, can I still make it out there if I, you know, I figure out how to get my work done? Maybe I'll work after midweek. And sometimes that's what I did. I came here, I listened to what was going, and then I walked right out and I went home and I started working again, you know, just the way I would have done the day before, working till after 10 o'clock. It's just what is stopping you and why are you making excuses? That's what we have to think about. Where is your heart in all of this? And so we have to be careful when we're making those excuses. You know, in Haggai, he said, carefully consider your thoughts. And that's where, you know, God's heart was revealed. And Jesus is revealing something here about God's heart. He's saying, you know, as soon as they said that the servant reported back the excuses those people made, he became angry. Like, you know, sometimes God can become angry with us or, you know, with what we're deciding to do. They're, you know, he's, you know, justifiably angry that they're, you know, they're not accepting this warm offer that he's been given them. Like, you know, why wouldn't we do that? And then, you know, we have to be extremely careful because what do we see else in the heart of God here? He says, I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. You know, when do those excuses become God's not, you know, God's had it, you know? When will God decide not to invite us back in? What are we going to decide to do to stay connected with God? So then, you know, just a couple more scriptures here to close it out. Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I think, you know, that in talking about your heart, to trust in God with all of your heart, it's very important to do that, you know, rather than leaning on your own understanding, rather than, you know, deciding for yourself what you need to stay busy with, deciding for yourself, like, this needs to accomplish, so I'm going to keep doing that. It's instead flipping that, you know, not being selfish or lazy with your time, the time that you do have, but really seeking after God in those times, really seeking after other people. And then to bring it back again, you know, to what the greatest commandment is, to close out, you know, Alan mentioned it earlier. I kind of opened up the sermon with this, but it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and in some others they add, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So as we're thinking about where our heart is, are we offering all our heart to God? You know, if it were up to us in these busy times and we didn't have all these things to do, would we be serving God with all of our heart? You know, is that where our heart is longing to be? And so every opportunity we get, we're eating that up. We're connecting with God. We're connecting with people. So that, you know, that's what the focus should be on. You know, where is your connection? Where is your connection with other people? Where is your connection with God in these busy times? Are you still finding that connection? And then, you know, where is your accomplishment? Have you considered what you're even trying to accomplish in your busy life? And is that something that is worthwhile? Is that something that really matters? Or can you kind of pump the brakes a little bit and, you know, kind of slow down and think about what God wants you to accomplish? And, you know, and then lastly, where is your heart? You know, is your heart for God? Is your heart for other people? Is your heart for the accomplishment, the will of God that he wants us to have? And so as I close out, you know, I'm praying for all the people in the church just to really, you know, that we can really be focused on God as we live our busy lives. And that, you know, as I go into a busy life, that I can do the same thing, that we can really live that out. And so thank you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the service today.
Okay, that was a wonderful service. I mean, it's been a wonderful service, and that was a wonderful message from Art. Just one announcement. Just this Wednesday, we'll be splitting up into classes. So the parenting class will be here, and the conversion class will be in the band room. So let's go to God in prayer. God, just thank you just for letting us all gather here today, God. And God, just thank you for just this wonderful service, Lord. God, let us just take what we've heard today to heart, God. God, let us just not get overwhelmed by busyness, God, and let us just allow us to have, like, connections just with each other, God, and God, just let us understand, like, what our priorities should be, God, that you are ultimately part of our goal and part of our vision for our lives, God. God, please just let us make good decisions today, Lord, and please just watch over us the rest of this day, God, the rest of this week, God. God, just forgive us for our mistakes and our sins, God. Lord, we thank you for everything, God. In Jesus' name.